Jackson resident Foster Freeze is a highly successful businessman, investor, and philanthropist. After watching the state struggle financially over the last few years, he's decided to enter the Republican primary in the race for governor. Freeze is certainly well-connected and has worked on national health care and other issues over the years. We spoke at his office in Jackson, where we began by discussing his plan to diversify the economy.
Matt Mead told me his grandfather had been talking about diversification a number of decades back. So diversification is important, and I think the way I would like to approach it, one, is primarily with private funding, and secondly, on a local basis, because I don't think any government should impose on the citizens something that they might not enjoy. So the local citizens say, do we want to have a brewery in our community? Do we want to have a United States Department of Agriculture plant that can process beef? And so if we look what the people want, I see my job as to helping them sell it. And that has been one of my strong suits, I believe, in terms of we attracted $15 billion of management money to our firm with no advertising. And if you look at the diversification issue, let's concentrate on the companies that are already here. We have a number of things going on that are quite small in their infancy. And so what do we do to nourish them as opposed to giving a grant to someone to come out of state to compete with them, which also brings more people, demand for more schools, more roads. So we have to have a careful balancing act of making sure in the process of what we undertake that we, number one, enlist the help of all the people in these communities. In my prior life, I managed $15 billion. That was not a one-man job. Neither is being governor a one-man job. So the success we'll all enjoy together is by people who contribute ideas and expertise that none of us have completely.
Can you explain how you would take an existing business, a hypothetical one, that wants to grow and wants to do more things in the state, and help them grow?
Number one, they need to have people come here. And therefore, to come here, you want to have a good environment. So we have the open spaces, we have the kind people, and so to make sure the road is paved with this plant. And so things that government should do, they aren't in the business of creating jobs. They should create a milieu, an environment where people want to come here to work. And a big part of that is a good educational system. I think we have one of the finest in the country, but how do we make it even better? How do we enhance it? My success and blessings in life are, I'm standing on the shoulders of Miss Duffner and Miss Ott, my 6th, 7th grade teachers. So I believe the number one focus in our educational system must be the teachers. And just like in the medical system, number one focus must be the doctors. You can have all the hospitals or fancy schools you want, but that's the core, and we have to, as a businessman, I learned what is the most important thing to focus on, and let's get that done, and then take the subsequent issues down the road.
You raised education, and as we've been cutting budgets, we've also been looking at cutting the education budgets in a lot of school districts. It's led to some cuts and probably will lead to some layoffs. I'm curious your thoughts on that, and that's something you'd like to see changed.
Well, I'm just wondering if a lot of the hole we've dug for ourselves, I haven't thought this out carefully, but maybe we just put too much in schools and could have taken that physical plant and kept that more for the teacher's salaries. If you look at the idea of cuts, why don't we go back and cut first all the things that are unnecessary in our existing budget? Now, there's people talk about these two jets, and that might be an issue. I've been blessed to be able to have a 1982 King Air. And to go across the state, I ask a jet pilot and a King Air pilot and said it's not a lot of difference, maybe 10, 15 minutes. So maybe that would be an example. And there might be other ideas. I'd like to go through the budget item by item by item and ask myself, what is necessary and what's nice? Necessary, nice. Necessary, nice. And I believe we can avoid cuts that way by being careful of what we're already spending, and secondly, by enhancing the vibrancy of our economy by helping the businesses that are here, including the energy industry. You know, everybody says, well, we have to diversify. Let's not forget that oil, gas, coal, these are important things to our economy, and we have to do everything we can do to help them.
Well, one of the things when you talk about education, the buildings, and you're right, I think a lot of people share your concern, but that was a Supreme Court decision, and the state was forced to do that. And a lot of this on spending on education, I guess the pushback is that the courts have told the state, because of our Constitution, that you have to pay for these certain things. So people probably who are teachers are concerned, you know, will this cut stop, or would you continue what's going on?
The last place we want to cut is the teachers. Now, there's plenty of other places we can cut, but I don't want to cut. I don't want to cut anything, especially people. You can cut buildings, you can cut airplanes, you can cut brochures, you can cut a lot of advertising, a lot of stuff you can cut without cutting people. The reason I was blessed to succeed is because I was very careful in hiring my people, and I never had to fire a single person. Now, in my career, I did graduate 3 folks onto a new career path, but that was pretty limited. And so how do we recognize the greatest resource we have in a company is the people, and in state government, it's the people, in education, it's the people. And I ran my firm in such a way that I told a fellow who was working way beyond 5 o'clock, I said, look, if you can't get this done by 5, this job's too big for you, you're not working smart, I'm not helping you. You have a wife and kids at home that are waiting for you for dinner. Now let's figure out how we can make that happen. And I was able to create an environment where people learned how to work smart. And I avoided a lot of meetings. I had meetings. When I had meetings, I had them in a room with no chairs.
Foster Freeze visiting with us. One of the things, though, as we, and not to just stay on budget too long, but certainly it is a topic of discussion and people are concerned about it. I know you're not going to want to raise taxes, but it does seem like we're short revenue right now. How can we get a more stable revenue base for the state?
Well, who says we're short of revenue? Where does that come from? We're not short of revenue, we're just spending too much. If you look at your home budget and someone says, well, I didn't get my raise this year, so you can find things, so maybe we can only go out to a restaurant once every 2 weeks rather than 3 nights a week. So I believe we first start on getting rid of the waste and protect the people that make this state great, and that's the teachers and the firemen, the policemen, the core people that make things work. And to your point about the Constitution, as I read the Constitution, it just says we must provide equal education. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean every school has to be $50 million. The education should be determined by the outcomes. And first of all, it's very hard. How do you define equal outcomes? You can kind of have a pretty good idea on equal delivery, and I think the way it's been defined in terms of the amount of dollars spent. And I've heard a couple numbers. One number I've heard is $15,700 per student. Let's find out where that money is going. And if you look at the states around us, they're paying $8,000, $9,000, $10,000. And while I want to have the highest paid teachers in the whole area, I basically do not believe just throwing money at the situation is going to work, because if that's the case, Illinois, Baltimore, Detroit, Chicago will have the greatest outcomes possible because they pay their teachers, who knows? I mean, they pay their, not their teachers, but the student cost per student is even 20, 25, 30,000, whatever. I don't know the number is, but it's awfully high.
Can I change your attention to healthcare? And I know this is something you're very passionate about, and you've done some work in this area. As you look at Wyoming, obviously we're in Jackson right now talking to you, and you've got a nice healthcare system up here. But when you travel across some of our more rural parts of the state, it's not a similar situation. You've got people that can't get doctors, and they have to drive a long ways. How do we address that problem?
Well, you're absolutely right, and I just had a meeting in Washington, D.C. with Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar, and he affirmed 100% the efforts that I'm doing, which you can see on patientsusa.com, is revealing prices, transparency. I cannot find a Hillary, Bernie, or Trump supporter who doesn't give me a high five and say, let's publish prices. And that's just the beginning. The efforts I've been engaged in to try to come up with some healthcare reforms, promote these Medishare-type programs, which are not insurance companies. I had a friend who had a $22,000 premium, $9,000 $4,000 deductible because of four kids, $31,000 after tax. So we put him in touch with one of these sharing ministries. So there's a lot of solutions we can do. But to your point, the local fellow here that runs a hospital, Paul Beaupre, said if we could get our hands on the federal money, and Rick Santorum and Lindsey Graham, I've been working with them, they almost got the money transferred from Trump's control to Meade's control. How do we get the money back to the states that's currently going into this federal sinkhole and a lot of fraud and abuse? And Paul Beaupre, told me if he could get his hands on that money, it's sometimes like $7,000 per person, and if it's disabled, $17,000, he could increase dramatically the salaries of these little clinics that could be set up around the state. I was coming through, maybe it was Kim or something, and it was on a Saturday, and they're having a health show. And the people draw the blood in the 2 weeks ahead for free, volunteer. The doctors come in on Saturday and evaluate. And I asked the chief executive officer and chief financial officer of the health delivery system there, what do those reagents cost to do the blood test? He only told me $50. So we have enormous opportunity if we can begin publishing prices so people know what things pay. I was at a hospital, and the lady told me, who was handing out these prescriptions. You got me on a bad morning here, Bob. The prescriptions were $4 when the person took to Walmart. She said she gave it to another patient 10 days later. The same prescription went to another pharmacy, $40. Now, if we just begin by simple, one step at a time, the problem with our people in the King of D.C., they want to put everything in one great big package. And I was able to design a bill to publish prices that was one and two lines long. And I met with Harry Reid in his Bellagio palatial office in Las Vegas, said, look, Foster, I'm with you on this publishing prices, but you'll never get Congress to pass one or two lines. But we have to simplify our government. We have to make it so easy. And one of the things that I've supported in the past is a program called OpenTheBooks.com, mm-hmm. where you can log on and type in your zip code. You can find every check that was sent by the federal government. There's no reason why we shouldn't have that same capability to do that here in Wyoming, so every person can see how much is going for this subsidy, how much is going for this. Every salary ought to be available to let people, the taxpayers, see for us.
Foster Freeze is one of your Republican candidates for governor. Foster, a pleasure meeting you, and thank you for joining us on Open Spaces.
Good to be here.